Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Groundhog Day 2026. Monday, February the 2nd, 2026, 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour. And if you're just tuning in, the prediction here at WGH Talk, an early spring, and our groundhog was revealed to be former President Warren G. Harding. How about that? What could be more fitting for the 250th anniversary of our country? Joined in studio by the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, Bob Welsh, Matt Morgan, Sean Kraft, and James Anderson, all here with us this morning. Mary Ellen, what did you make of the groundhog?
Well, it was terrific. I thought that was very appropriate because of the 250-year.
I thought for 250 years, we've got to do something with history. And in Marion, Ohio, I don't think you can go wrong with President Harding.
That's right.
President Harding, what was it like to be the groundhog for those just tuning in?
Well, I've got to say, of all the fascinating things, important things that I've been able to do leading up to the presidency and now in the presidency, being the mystery groundhog ranks right up at the top with the supreme honors of a lifetime.
Now, President Harding, this is a big day. It's an early spring, and we have an official proclamation for that.
We do.
I
mean, if the groundhog comes out and sees his shadow or not, that's really just a rumor. It's folklore. It doesn't become reality until it's signed into law by an official presidential proclamation. And I've done that, which puts an end to winter. We're looking at an early spring.
Now, President Harding, your years at the Marion Star. Now, would something like this have made it into the Marion Star Groundhog Day?
Oh, absolutely. Groundhog Day is well, it's an important tradition. My family, going back generations and generations, was from Germany and came to the United States and was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Well, as you know, groundhogs in Pennsylvania are really intertwined, and they're important lore. Now, in Germany, my ancestors waited for a badger to come out of its burrow, but there aren't any, not many badgers in Pennsylvania, so that's why my Pennsylvania ancestors were looking for groundhogs and seeing whether or not they cast a shadow.
You know, it's such an interesting thing. Mary Ellen, what do you think makes this day so much fun for people every year?
Well, it's a fun thing. I mean, when you talk about a groundhog, I mean, there's millions of groundhogs out there. And it's just a fun thing to think of somebody pretending to be a groundhog. And that's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, people love stuff like this, and it has become part of the American tradition for 250 years.
Yes. You know, they've been showing pictures of the zoo all week on or all last several days on television about how they're keeping the animals warm, and they got the giraffes in a barn, and everybody's happy. And they showed a badger. They had a badger on there. It was a big thing. Yeah.
Well, and you see, that is what is so entertaining about this event is a lot of people use badgers, a lot of people use groundhogs. Obviously, we have a president in a groundhog suit. It just kind of depends on what you like and how you celebrate the day.
Yes, and it's pretending to be an animal is a fun thing, you know.
And you did it last year.
Yeah, I did.
And you know, one thing about being the groundhog is that you stay very warm.
Well, yes, but I think the outfit is so cute. The face on that groundhog is adorable.
Everybody loves the groundhog costume.
Yeah.
You know, President Harding, how warm is it for people who've never had the chance to be in a groundhog costume? How warm is it in there?
Well, it's like being wrapped in multiple layers of thick fur. When you're inside, you're just way too hot. When I'm standing outside and it's, 4 degrees outside, that feels just about right.
Isn't that amazing, with how cold it was this morning, Mary Ellen, that groundhog suit can still keep somebody warm?
Yes, right. Well, think about how the groundhog feels about it.
That's why they have that fur. That's why groundhogs don't shave, so they can stay warm during the winter. Now, President Harding, we like to inject some history on this day. Have you brought something you'd like to read for us this morning?
Well, I would like to make an observation about how polarizing Groundhog Day can be. You think it's pretty straightforward. A groundhog sees his shadow or not, and there you go. When you look around, you understand there are multiple groundhogs. Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow, and thousands of people in Punxsutawney were going, "Phil, Phil, Phil, Phil," and he proclaimed that there's 6 more weeks of winter. Well, Buckeye Chuck did not see his shadow, and I did not see my shadow. So that's 2-1 in favor of an early spring. But nonetheless, there are Punxsutawney Phil purists, loyalists, that believe everything he says. And he says that there are 6 more weeks of winter. So you really have to decide, who are you going to follow? Who are you going to believe?
Well, and that's the thing. Now, could all of this cold weather end up signifying an early spring? Sometimes that happens. You get this cold weather, you get this snow, and then we get to the end of February, and all of a sudden, well, hey, March is not bad at all. Right, Mary Ellen?
Right, and it would be nice to have an early spring.
Well, you know, here's what I've always wondered. What signifies an early spring? Is it anything before 6 weeks? So if the weather turns to what? See, I've never really understood this. What do we have to have happen to have an early spring?
Well, we don't want a foot of snow and zero weather.
So if there is no snow, after what date would that signify an early spring?
I would think after March.
After March.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts on this, President Harding?
Well, I think one of the indicators of an early spring is when the crocuses start to emerge from the ground. They have a mind of their own. And sometimes they'll pop up even when there's snow on the ground. You'll begin to see the crocuses start to come through. So in my opinion, the crocus is what determines the springness.
Oh, that's very good. Bob Welsh, now Bob, you have tried the groundhog pizza now. How was the groundhog pizza, and what do you have in your hand here?
The pizza was excellent. And there's still some left. Actually, some of the people in the hallway are enjoying it as
Linda
well.
Sims, I believe, has arrived.
Yes,
we'll have to get Linda in here.
Yes, she's here. I was trying to get her to try on the groundhog costume for next year to see if we can't...
Oh, could be Linda. You never know.
Could be Linda. But she declined.
She didn't want to try it on.
Well, I think she wants to keep the mystery, you know. Keep the mystery alive. But, I have in my hand some various groundhog... trivia facts here that you had mentioned.
All right.
Other animals being used other than a groundhog. And so, I mean, the most popular is a hedgehog, an opossum. I don't know how they do this in Oklahoma City, but in Oklahoma City, they use a grizzly bear.
Oh, man.
You know, I don't know if they ask if it sees its shadow or not, but, you know, that's something there. Racine, Wisconsin, they use a skunk. Now, who's going to get close enough to check for the shadow?
Is it de-skunked?
I don't know.
I hope so.
We need to, I guess, do some research there. But, you know, Buckeye Lake, I think James mentioned earlier, they use a bass.
And now, how do they do that?
Apparently, they put a minnow in the water with the bass. And excuse me, I'm all choked up over this.
Yeah, it's a very emotional event.
But they put a minnow in the water with the bass, and if the bass eats the minnow, that is a signal of either early spring or winter. I'm not quite sure which. I think it is if the bass don't eat, then we need more heat or something like that.
All right. So what's a trivia question you have? And if somebody can answer it, we'll take the phone call.
Question here is the most common question. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
And that's a Groundhog Day question.
So how much wood or how much would a groundhog chuck? You know.
You didn't have a groundhog top 10 today?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Oh, my Lord. I didn't realize.
But the answer to that one, you know, we'll let people guess on it. But we had a university actually do a survey, a study on how much the groundhog could eat.
All right.
We can get into the top live animals used other than the groundhog, although I've already given away that, the number one. Do you want to go through that?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. The top live animals other than the groundhog, number 10, the grizzly bear. Number 9, in Bee City, Texas, the armadillo. And apparently the armadillos run wild down there. Portland, Oregon uses the beaver. New Orleans, a nutria. West Dundee, Illinois. I'm not quite sure how they do this, but an alpaca. Eastford, Connecticut uses a duck. There are multiple cities that use a dog. You know, I don't, maybe a little Pomeranian or something. I don't know. A number of cities also use a prairie dog, then a possum. And then the number one live animal other than a groundhog is a hedgehog. Kind of similar.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
So I guess it's just what part of the world you're in and what area you're in and how it goes over.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're all weather predictors.
They're all weather predictors, although I don't think any of them have our accuracy.
Well, I just wonder how they predict it. Is it based on shadow, like the grizzly bear?
Well, I'll have to do more research on that. Maybe next year I'll answer your question.
Well, by the 365 days, yeah, in 365 days we'll have the answer to that question. If the grizzly bear sees his shadow, is it going to be in early spring?
And do they have a new handler each year?
And that's a good question. It's a very good question. All right, so do you have the top 10 list, Bob?
The top 10 most popular names for a groundhog.
Top 10 most popular names for a groundhog. Okay, go ahead.
Number 10, Sam.
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 Oscar.
Oscar.
Number 8, Sonny.
Sonny.
Number 7, Minnie.
Minnie.
6, Sue.
Sue.
I guess.
Song. There's a song.
Groundhogs,
right.
Can be women as well. Number 5, Fred.
Fred.
Number 4, Phil.
Phil.
3 is Pete.
Pete.
2, I think this might be influenced a little bit by the Groundhog movie. Bill or William, you know, Bill Murray.
Bill Murray.
And number one.
Number one popular groundhog name.
And we see that here in Marion. Chuck.
Chuck. So Chuck. Warren was not on the list.
Warren.
Boy, Bob, who prepared that list? My gosh, our groundhog's named Warren Groundhog Harding.
Well, I think Warren might be number 11.
You scratch one of those off, and let's see if we can fix that.
Well, as we zoom in popularity, I'm sure Warren will be shooting up the list here, you know, momentarily.
President Harding, don't you think that Warren should be on that list?
Well, yes, it should be, because on February 2nd, That's by tradition, the president comes out of the White House, looks around.
That's right.
And sees his shadow or not.
Right. That's exactly right. And that's how we know what the weather report's going to be for the upcoming months. You know, so there you go. Hey, Bob, can you grab Linda? We haven't had a chance to hear Linda on the mic this morning. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that.
If she yells, it's your fault.
That's okay. It wouldn't be the first time. There you go. Mary Ellen, popular names for a groundhog. How about that?
Interesting.
It's all interesting information here.
Yes,
this morning.
Yes, right.
You didn't realize this was going to be such an educational experience
this
morning.
I didn't, no.
Yeah, I know. All right, Linda has joined us. Linda, it's Groundhog Day.
Linda.
Did you hear? Let's get Linda a chair over here. I bet you can sit between the president and the treasurer here. We'll get Linda a nice chair here. But
I'll pull up and I'll sit here.
Yeah. It's Groundhog Day, and we hope you're having a wonderful time wherever you are. Again, the groundhog prediction was early spring here at WGH Talk, and our groundhog was President Harding. Of all people, amazing. Linda, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing well, Scott. Feeling a lot better than I was earlier this morning. I've been up since 3:30.
3:30? What was going on at 3:30?
I just didn't feel well, so.
But you made it in.
I made it in.
Well, we're glad you made
Praise
it
God.
In. And you're looking well and hopefully feeling better.
Yes, feeling much better.
Well, what is the attraction of Groundhog Day for you?
I'm always interested in whether he sees a shadow or not. And then I forget what it means if he does and if he doesn't.
It kind of throws it. Yeah. Well, we got early spring here with our groundhog pizza.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the president was our groundhog. What do you make of that?
I thought that was right fitting, wasn't it?
Wasn't it for
yes,
the 250th anniversary
yes,
of the country?
That's great. Yeah.
Who better could you have than the president?
Right. Because Mary Ellen preceded him last year, right, Mary Ellen? You wore
yes.
the suit.
Yep, Mary Ellen and Miss Ohio the year before,
right.
And the year before that was James Anderson. So we've had a good list of groundhogs.
Yes, we have.
What do you think the attraction is of Groundhog Day?
I think it's the same thing. It has become a national holiday for United States, you know, and everybody's interested. And it generates a lot of money, especially in Pennsylvania where people come and, you know, they want to know what's going on. Just like the movie with Bill Murray.
Yeah, well, that's become one of the greatest movies in the history of cinema. It
yes.
plays every Groundhog Day weekend. You can't help but not see it.
That's so true. So true. I don't like it, but...
You don't care for the movie, but it's okay. Mary Ellen, have you seen the Groundhog Day movie?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you like the movie?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good movie, I think. It's a very good movie. President Harding... Do you have something for us here? I see you have some papers in your hand.
Well, I just came with just some papers that I brought with me from Washington, just so we'd have something to talk about.
Oh, good,
In case we needed to. You can always count on Warren Harding to fill time.
That's right.
I'm known for bloviating, and I don't want to disappoint anybody. So today was a first. Today was the first time a president has appeared in a groundhog suit.
A first.
That has never happened. I'm the first president to appear in a groundhog suit.
Groundbreaking.
Now, there are many other Warren G. Harding firsts. So we'll just add this to my list of firsts. Did you know that I was the first president to ride to and from his inauguration in an automobile? Up to 1920, it was a horse and carriage. So I broke tradition by arriving in a black Packard Twin Six convertible. Made an appearance on the east portico of the Capitol for the inauguration. Chief Justice Edward White administered the presidential oath of office. And I had my hand on the very Bible that George Washington himself used at the first presidential inauguration.
Mm.
And I put my hand on that and said, I, Warren Gamaliel Harding, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And maybe predict the weather.
There you go. A little addendum there.
I was the first president to use sound amplification. So East portico steps of the Capitol, thousands of people spread out in the mall facing the Capitol, and every president up to this time has had to just bellow at the top of their lungs and hope they could be heard. But this year, 1920, the Bell Telephone Company invented a sound amplification system. They call it a public address system, or PA. I know that's new technology, but... It was a microphone and a truck full of amplifiers and big speakers that were facing out toward the mall. And all I could do is just talk in my normal voice. And my voice boomed out over the mallway and everybody could hear every word that I said.
Neat.
I'm the first Baptist president. I'm also the first president to be heard on the radio.
Oh.
Now, it's a common thing now, but on June 14th, 1922, I gave a speech to commemorate the unveiling of a memorial to Francis Scott Key, which, as you all know, is the man who wrote the Star Spangled Banner, our national anthem. That's the first time a president was ever heard on the radio. I also was the first president to record his voice on a phonograph record, which, by the way, we used during the campaign. I would record speeches on phonograph records, and those 78 RPM records would be passed out at campaign rallies. So, you know, if you look on eBay, you might find one of those. Mm. They're worth money today. I was the first journalist to become president of the United States. And this is interesting. I ran against James Cox, who was the governor of Ohio at that time. But James Cox also owned a newspaper. It was the Dayton Daily News in Dayton. So what are the odds of having two candidates for president, both from the same state, both journalists, both that own newspapers? What are the odds of that?
Both politicians.
Absolutely.
Because today we've got two people running for governor, and neither one have ever held office.
Okay. Here's another first. I was the first sitting U.S. senator to be elected president. Now, today it's a common thing. It's a common route to the presidency is to come in through the Senate. But I was the first one. I was a two-term senator from Ohio. I lived in Washington at the time. And that's the first time a senator, an acting senator holding that office, went on to become a president. I was the first president elected after women earned the right to vote, after the passage of the 19th Amendment. I should mention that my wife, Florence, campaigned mightily for the passage of the 19th Amendment. Tennessee was the last state to ratify the amendment, and that happened just before the 1920 election. And when that happened, women came out in droves to vote for Warren G. Harding, which made a tremendous difference in the outcome of the election. By the way, I won that election by the greatest landslide since the institution of the two-party system in the United States. Popular vote was 60.3% for Harding versus 34.1% for James Cox. That's the definition of a landslide.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, why did people not like Governor Cox?
I think Governor Cox, whether he intended or not, was perceived as an elite, as an intellectual. And no one ever accused Warren G. Harding of being an intellectual. but I think I was seen as more a small town, man of the people. I think people saw in me some humility that they did not see in James Cox. And they had had a chance to see Cox in the flesh as governor of Ohio. So they didn't just see him as a journalist. They saw him in political action. And I don't think they liked what they saw that much. Anyway, I did not want to have a big inauguration. I'm the first president that did not do that. It was tradition to have a massive party and parades and military bands and a banquet and a big fancy ball with ladies wearing their best evening gowns. That was the norm for an inauguration party. And I ran on my platform, on a platform of fiscal responsibility, that it's time the government had a budget. The government Government hasn't had a budget. Anybody could spend anything they want, in large part because of the Great War. If a State Department wanted to spend the money, they just spent it, and it wasn't accountable to anybody. Well, I'm putting an end to that with the Federal Accountability Budget Act of 1921. And there now is a federal budget and an Office of Budget to hold departments accountable to that budget. But I think the inaugural ball creates the wrong kind of optics. How can I preach a platform of fiscal responsibility and then spend untold amounts of money on finery, bands, banquets? So I said, for the inaugurational party, let's make it cupcakes and coffee. That's it. Now, I can tell you that my wife Florence wasn't real happy about this. She had bought an absolutely gorgeous green satin gown to wear for the inaugural ball, and she did not get a chance to wear that. And I can tell you, when Florence isn't happy, nobody is happy.
So you caught the wrath.
Yeah. I'll pay for that for a long time.
Mary Ellen, can you understand why Florence was unhappy? She bought this beautiful ball gown, and then her husband says, no presidential inaugural ball.
Yes, I can understand that very well.
That would be terrible, wouldn't it?
It would.
Be very, yeah. Very upsetting.
Well, I think the ball is tremendous. I think it causes the entrance of the president. People get acquainted with him through, you know, being at the party. And it's always a big event. I've gone to several.
Yes. Now, what are your memories of some inaugural balls?
Well, I think the first one was Carter, and it was Norman's birthday, too. He always was so proud that they had his birthday to inaugurate the president.
January 20th.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you have did you wear a nice ball gown and get dressed up for these events?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
I bet a lot goes into that. Does a lot of thought go into what you're going to wear and get ready for these events?
Well, you want to look good.
Well, I know the men, they have to go out and they have to get a tuxedo and they have to get the haircut and look a certain way. Yeah. Everybody wants to look good because those pictures live on forever.
That's right.
What were they like during the Clinton era?
Well, it was pretty much the same.
Same type of thing?
Yes, very much so, yeah.
Good food?
Well, I don't remember the food at all. So I can't answer that.
Seems to be a lot of dancing.
Yes, dancing and the music and seeing everybody. That's what's so much fun.
Good catch up.
Mm-hmm.
President Harding, it's too bad you didn't have an inaugural ball.
Well, I think it was the right thing to do. It signaled the right instincts to the country that we're entering a new era. A new era of normalcy that this country has not seen for decades.
In 1920. It definitely might have been normal back in 1920. That certainly is right. And Mary Ellen, first president to get voted in after women had the right to vote.
Oh, absolutely. I've thought about that so many times, and I never had talked to my mother about how she voted or anything, but I would bet that most of the women voted the same as their husbands because that's what they understood to do at that point.
You know, I've never thought to ask you this, but your parents were in Marion,
mm-hmm.
and they would have been here during some of the era that President Harding was here.
Yes.
Did they ever have any interactions or stories about President Harding?
Well, they talked about him, but they did not go to any events or anything.
So never went to any of the front porch speeches like that?
No.
You know, President Harding, your house is still over here on Mount Vernon Avenue. The famous porch is still there. That's what people remember about you, the front porch speech.
Well, I get credit for inventing the front porch campaign, and that's unfair because I did not. invent that. William McKinley is the creator of the Front Porch Campaign. And what I learned from watching William McKinley's campaign is that it's the way to run a campaign if you want to do it on the cheap. The idea is that if you make enough stir, everybody's going to come to you rather than you having to travel the country proclaiming the great platform that you have. This way, I think as most people know, I built a building behind the home, which served as a headquarters for the press corps. And we had reporters permanently stationed in Marion, and they worked out of that building. They were here from the New York Sun and Herald, the Washington Post, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, the New York World, the New York Tribune, the Chicago Tribune, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the Philadelphia Ledger, the New York Times. All of these reporters collectively were nicknamed the Order of the Elephant, and they camped out there for months. In fact, there was a temporary kitchen built on the back of the house just to provide food for the reporters who stayed to cover the campaign. That's a far cry from president wannabes that travel the country and hope they run into some press people wherever they are. This time, the journalists came to Marion.
Now, I do want to let people know we've got about 15 minutes left in our live broadcast today, but President Harding and Mary Ellen, Matt and Sean are going to take some quick videos of them before they leave today, their reactions about Groundhog Day and everything that happened this morning. So we'll have those up on our social media page later on today. And we're also going to retake a group picture here now that Linda's with us before the morning's up. So we'll do that after the 10 o'clock hour this morning. So that will be available later today via our social media page, WGH Talk on Facebook. A little interview with Mary Ellen, a little interview with President Harding, who was our groundhog, and a group shot with Linda and the whole gang here, James Anderson, Matt, Bob Welsh, the whole group, to be sure. President Harding, Groundhog Day again, early spring. We're hoping that by March 21st, the first day of spring, that it will already be warmer temperatures and maybe a little green on the ground. We can only hope.
And it will be by presidential proclamation.
By presidential proclamation. And those things are tight. So it's gonna be that way. Now, we should also mention, for people who are tuning in this morning, that Puxatony Phil and Buckeye Chuck, again, were at odds. Puxatony Phil, the world's most famous groundhog, said six more weeks of winter. But Buckeye Chuck was in our neck of the woods here in Marion, Ohio, and said early spring, much like our groundhog, Warren Groundhog Harding, who turned out to be Warren G. Harding this morning. Early spring. Why do you think, Mary Ellen, even though Pennsylvania and Ohio very close, so many years those two groundhogs are at odds?
Well, and also I guess we were correct, right?
Well, we think there's going to be an early spring. We were right last year. We were.
Didn't we have a good record?
We have a 100% record here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's what I was getting at.
So I have to feel that it is going to be an early spring.
Okay. We hope so.
We hope so.
We're freezing to death right now.
We're freezing to death right now. We have finally gotten up to 10 degrees, by the way.
Yeah.
10 degrees on, oh boy, it's a sauna outside.
I can't believe it. You know?
I know.
I'm so glad you've got this inside today.
Well, at 3 degrees when we started this morning, there is no way. I don't think, were people really standing outside in places in Ohio today? I can't imagine at 3 degrees that they were.
Well, you know, they've been they've had these gatherings all over the state, all over everywhere, you know, the ice gatherings,
yeah.
And so people are out. Yeah.
I just can't imagine for 45 minutes standing outside when it's 3 degrees.
I know.
Unbelievable. President Harding?
Well, I don't know what the temperature was in Punxsutawney, but there were thousands and thousands of people standing outside watching the events. Well, we didn't have tens of thousands of people here today. We're relying on the media to carry our story. But whatever the temperature was, there were a lot of people in Punxsutawney braving whatever weather to watch Punxsutawney make his observation.
You know, we heard Friday night that it's something like 4,000 people every year go there to see that groundhog in Punxsutawney, or in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Phil, where it's in, where it is in Punxsutawney, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. That's how it got its name. So, but boy, there's always a little dust up every year with that, with the PETA people, but life goes on. Mm-hmm. Life goes on. Tradition sticks around. Tradition's a big thing, President Harding, don't you think?
It is. But, you know, I haven't seen any PETA people around here this morning protesting me being in a costume.
I think you're safe. I think you're safe.
They seem to be all right with it.
They love our event. They think we're just great because we don't have any live animals here on Groundhog Day. Now, I should mention, County Commissioner Mark Davis last year gave us a groundhog, which we do have in the studio.
It's so cute.
It's a nice little stuffed groundhog. That was the presentation last year, and we thank him for that. So it's good to mention him on this particular day. Linda, what do you make of 4,000 people standing outside this morning? I don't know what the temperature was in Punxsutawney, but 4,000 people.
Well, I don't think it's, unimaginable because it has become such a popular holiday. It's like a holiday, like Presidential Day. And he probably had more people than people come off of President's Day, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because it's just a social event for everybody now. And they'll bundle up and have on their boots and whatever else they need to have on, and they'll be there.
What is it about us as Americans that we like to go out in the cold? Who decided to have the presidential inauguration in January? People go to Washington, D.C. in frigid temperatures.
Yes, they do.
To watch the president be sworn in.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. People just want to be a part of the action, a part of something that's going on that's positive, you know. And that's what we should be about, positivity.
Mary Ellen, what is one of the coldest events you've ever been a part of?
It might be this morning.
Might have been this morning. Today was the day.
That's it.
Well, you know, I said I'm glad that the temperature doesn't go up and down because I think that makes us sick.
And it does.
Yeah, and it stayed really cold all this time, which is probably better for us than anything else. So, but I'll be glad when it warms up.
We have had a very cold year so far. President Harding, coldest event you can remember. What was your inauguration like?
Well, my inauguration was in May. It wasn't in January. Back then, the inauguration fell a little bit later in the year. So things were beginning to warm up, and the cherry blossom buds were starting to show on the trees in Washington, and the weather was much more temperate than it is now.
Was it March or May?
It was March.
March.
Yeah, it was March, right.
So it was just, it's starting to get a little warmer.
It's starting to warm up a little.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was early spring.
It was early spring. And what are some of the things that you remember from that day?
Well, I remember stepping into the presidency with the burden of the terrible debris that was left from the Woodrow Wilson administration.
He'd been very ill.
Had a stroke, and in the latter months was largely incapacitated, and his wife, Edith, ran the country. She was the shadow president behind Woodrow Wilson. But leading up to this presidential election, we're coming into this 1920 era with, we've just come through the ghastly confluence of war, pestilence, terrorism, unemployment. As soon as the Great War finished taking the lives of 100,000 Americans, a global influenza pandemic of 1913 came through. It stole the lives of 650,000 more people. And that's still going on today in 1920. We were going through race riots, labor strikes. There are a string of anarchist bombings going on because of the Russian Revolution. had just happened, and so there were protests in this country about that. There was a bombing that slaughtered 30 people on Wall Street. Unemployment is soaring. Stock prices are in the tank. Americans are bitterly divided over whether to join the League of Nations or not. That's a whole separate topic. I won't get into that now, but let's just say Woodrow Wilson basically wanted to be president of the world through his invention of this organization called the League of Nations. There was a cheating scandal that tainted the national pastime of baseball with accusations that the Red Sox, which are now nicknamed the Black Sox, had conspired with gamblers to fix the 1919 World Series. Even the weather is conspiring against us when a cluster of 40 tornadoes struck from Georgia to Wisconsin on Palm Sunday of 1920, leaving more than 380 dead. Under the last 4 years of Woodrow Wilson, under the War Powers Act, he's become a one-man government. What happened to we the people? He's raised taxes. He's plunged us into debt. He threatens our national sovereignty with talk of the League of Nations. And his wife is running the place. I'm calling for a return to normalcy. We live in crazy, crazy times. And the Warren G. Harding administration wants to put an end to that, put America first, and return to normalcy.
You know, Mary Ellen, 106 years later, not a whole lot changes, does it? I mean,
well, there's a little difference. The wife isn't running the place.
That's true. The wife is not running the place. That's for sure.
You don't see her too often.
No, no, no.
She's got a movie out.
Yeah, she just comes out on special occasions. She's got her own little thing going on there.
But Florence didn't have a movie made about her.
No, but she would have loved to. Wouldn't she have?
She would have enjoyed that.
She was a lady who liked to be out front.
She liked to be out front.
Yeah, she liked to be out front. Tell the story. Florence, more or less, invented the paper boy, did she not?
Oh, she did. She did. You know, I get far too much credit for building the success of the Marion Star and turning it into a profitable paper from the days that we bought the Marion Star at a sheriff's auction for $300, and the nickname for it was the Sick Kitten. All right. Well, back in that day, if you wanted a copy of the paper, you stopped by the Marion Star office on East Center Street, you plunked down your 2 cents or 3 cents, and walked out with a copy. Well, Florence is a sharp lady. Florence grew up in her father's hardware store. She kept the books at the store, provided a lot of business background to keep things running, and she brought that kind of acumen to the Marion Star. She looked around and saw people deliver ice. They deliver ice to the house so that you've got ice for your ice box. You know, so the ice man comes. Okay, there's an egg man that comes and he brings fresh eggs. There's a milkman that comes and brings fresh eggs. There's a bread man that comes to the house and delivers fresh baked goods. Why do people have to go to the Star to go get paper? The paper should come to them. Well, that was a revolutionary idea in newspapering at the time. And she recruited a bunch of young boys on bicycles and equipped them with carrying bags and whistles so that they would deliver the papers. But here's also the important thing. They collected the money. And but they came back with the subscription money to raised the cash flow of the paper immeasurably and turned the corner so that we could become a profitable enterprise. That's all due to Florence.
Well, and Florence was quite an innovative lady in her day, wouldn't you say, Mary Ellen?
Oh, absolutely, yes. You know, I took a picture of her. They wanted me to take it over to the Willard Hotel to hang it, and they hung it over there for her.
You know, and I think being First Lady, sometimes she gets left off a lot of these lists of important people from Marion, but you got to say she was an important lady.
Well, she did a lot, yes. I've read about all of her things that she stood for. She did a lot.
She certainly did. Do want to let everybody know again, our broadcast will wrap up here in about 2.5 minutes, but we are going to get a picture with Linda in it and a short video, and we're also going to get Matt and Shauna going to get some quick videos here with President Harding and Mary Ellen. Thoughts on Groundhog Day 2026. Don't forget, the prediction was an early spring, and our groundhog this morning, our surprise groundhog, was Warren G. Harding, President of the United States. First president ever to be a groundhog. Another first added to the repertoire of President Warren G. Harding. So much fun, and we want to thank again Bob Walsh for coming in from Columbus with our groundhog pizza. James Anderson, Marion County naturalist, for filling us in with all the interesting groundhog information. Matt and Sean and Linda for all coming in today. And of course, Mary Ellen for being here this morning and signing the prediction as she has all 4 years. And President Harding for being the groundhog. With about a minute and a half, Mary Ellen, what are your thoughts on Groundhog Day 2026?
Oh, it's been great. I think we've had a good time today.
I think, and a good memorable time.
Yes.
Absolutely. President Harding, about a minute left here. Thoughts on Groundhog Day and being the groundhog?
Well, it's a first to be here on February 2nd, covered in a thick layer of fur.
And we enjoyed it. We certainly did enjoy seeing it. And early spring, which is what's going to happen now.
By presidential proclamation.
By presidential proclamation.
There you have it.
There you have it. All right. Remember, everybody, stay tuned to WGH Talk Radio. There's always more around the corner. We hope you had a wonderful Groundhog Day. Don't forget, Punxsutawney Phil, 6 more weeks of winter. That is the prediction. Buckeye Chuck, early spring. And here in the studio, the piece of pizza that was picked was early spring by President Warren G. Harding. How about that? It has been fun. We will do it again next year. And, of course, we'll be back tomorrow morning with another program and just keep on trucking down the road. But remember, a Groundhog Day celebration is always fun to be a part of, and a lot of people go into making it a great time here at this station, as has happened the last 4 years. So we thank everybody in the Salvation Army for being here this morning with the hot chocolate and the warm coffee for everybody on this very cold morning. All right, well, let's give them a happy Groundhog Day on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Happy Groundhog Day! Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
A star of the Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?